The special meeting is over. Closed. Now we're going to open to the special meeting of the Joint City Council and Planning Commission for Tuesday, February 24th. And we'll have roll call, please.
Councilmember Allison, Ekblom, Eagleman.
Here.
Mayor Potem Scholes.
Here.
And Mayor Santos.
Here.
Commissioner Esponet.
Here.
Pomoy, Leon.
Here.
Matsura, LaSalle.
Here.
Myers.
Here.
And Chet Holmgren.
Here.
Public communications. Any member of the public may address the council and planning commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item described in this agenda. The planning commission and council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council and planning commission cannot act on any items on the agenda. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on anything that's not on this agenda? Seeing none, we'll bring it back. Okay, we're going on to business. A presentation will be made by consultant Paul Crawford of the firm of Crawford, Moltari, and Clark Associates to the Council, Planning Commission, and members of the public to explore on how other communities have addressed view protection and enhancement of views resulting from new construction and remodeling of existing structures. Jake?
Susie will introduce Paul.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about the project.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and welcome, everybody. I appreciate you taking the time out of your evening to come down and talk to us tonight about and participate in our Coastal View Protection Workshop. We do have Paul Crawford from Crawford, Moltari, and Clark Associates, who's an expert in the planning and zoning field, property owners to appreciate the value of their property. As many of you are aware, through either your projects or sitting on the Planning Commission or the City Council or being a member of the public at large, you're aware that coastal view issues come up routinely here at the city, at Planning Commission and City Council, where folks are concerned with proposed development blocking an existing view or someone wanting to add more square footage to their home and has the desire to increase their property value. So we're here tonight to start a workshop and to explore ideas on how we can better regulate and control these so that we can allow people to develop their property and also protect coastal views to the extent possible. This is just the first phase of this project. We're going to hear some ideas. We also want to hear from you, the public, and the Commission and Council on any issues or concerns or particular any solutions you have that you want to share with us on how to address this problem. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Paul. We will be following up with public hearings on a proposed ordinance on coastal view protection, so we'll notice that and publicize it well in advance, so hopefully you can participate then as well. Paul.
Thanks, Susan. Council members, commissioners, good evening. Grover Beach folks, hi. Privileged to be able to work on this project, and it's a difficult public policy issue that communities face when they're in the fortunate position of being desiring to look at some of the basic issues involved with view protection regulations. It will look at ways in which other communities have approached this issue. Look briefly at the current regulations that the city has and then talk about alternatives that the city of Grover Beach may wish to consider in terms of dealing with view protection issues. So this really is a matter of issues and options at this point. When we talk about issues, in coastal communities, places with other kinds of special views, increasing property values in developed neighborhoods often encourage upper floor home additions so that the property owners can take advantage of the views and make the view from the home even better than it was with the original construction. Of course, that has an almost inevitable consequence that the additions will sometimes, not always, but sometimes block views enjoyed by others. When the city becomes interested in getting into the act and assisting in the protection of property owners' views at the same time that they're assisting in other property owners gaining better views, the issues for resolving or the options for resolving these kinds of conflicts are somewhat limited, and it's almost impossible to resolve them or to administer these kinds of regulations without some kind of controversy, because in many cases, someone gaining what they're looking for will diminish what someone else feels they have. And so there's always this kind of challenge. And that then boils down to the basic public policy question, which is, what is the city's appropriate role with respect to view protection? And there's a project going up on the lot, the vacant lot in front of me, that's going to block my view. The response is, well, there isn't anything we can do. I mean, the only real way to protect a view is to buy the lot next door and keep it from developing. And from that end of the continuum, where the public agency isn't involved at all, is the other end of the continuum, where there's a high degree of involvement and a lot of public scrutiny of all development that might affect existing views. And so those are the two extremes within which most cities choose to deal with it at all try to find some middle ground. Now, as we look at the city's existing regulations, the current rules that attempt to address view protection, actually do address view protection, apply to property in the R1 zone north of Grand Avenue, where a building height is limited to 2 stories, with the height also limited to 15 feet at the highest point of the lot at the building edge and 25 feet at the lowest point of the building on the downhill side. And that, if this were played out in a house design, it might look something like this, where a sloping lot, you find where the natural grade is or was, and that's the basis for height measurement, where the upper edge of the house intersects the high point in the lot. The height limit is 15 feet. On the lower edge, it's 25 feet. And this is simply an illustration of the city's current regulations. The second component of the current regulations is that there's an opportunity for property owners to propose greater height, and that's allowed with site plan review. And the review authority, the body that makes the decision to approve the height increase they want, and the person whose view is being blocked gets at least some of it retained. When we look at the ways in which other cities address the issue, the first and most basic of those is that they don't address the issue. The zoning ordinance has nothing whatsoever to say about view protection. The building standards that determine how tall a building can be and how far it must be set back from property lines are applied uniformly throughout a given zoning district, and there is no adjustment or consideration of what the effect of building within that three-dimensional space defined by the height limit and the setback requirements will have on views from adjoining properties. So some cities don't deal with it at all. A step up from that in terms of municipal government involvement is that the city provides design guidelines that express the city's preferences. The guidelines are published in a document that's handed out to prospective project designers and builders. And guidelines typically say things like, it's the city's preference that the design of a new structure take into account existing views from adjoining properties, and new buildings should be designed so that the existing views are preserved to the maximum extent possible. Words to that effect. And the key is that it's all expressed in terms of shoulds, which is the city saying, this is really what we'd like to have happen, but we're not going to force the issue. Sometimes design guidelines are backed up with a formal design review process that isn't like a use permit and sometimes involves or doesn't involve a planning commission, but it's for the purpose of implementing design guidelines, and that may get down to something resembling there are simply restrictive height limits, and this is common in coastal communities that are subject to the California Coastal Act and its requirements, and particularly is in effect in areas between the first public road and the ocean. And these kinds of restrictive height limits, some of those exist in coastal communities in San Luis Obispo County, limit height to, say, 14 feet, period, between the first public road and the ocean, so that views from properties further inland and higher are preserved. And restrictive height limits could take the form of various quantities. 14 feet is a common limitation in coastal communities that have had their local coastal programs approved by the California Coastal Commission. there are certainly others that reflect local discussion and deliberation about what is the most appropriate approach in a given setting. And then there is the option of discretionary review for all projects. The height limits are set, but they are set so that an addition, if approved without any specific review and scrutiny, might block an adjoining view, but to prevent it or to mitigate the view blockage as much as possible, a city simply requires all development in the view-sensitive area to go through some public process that involves a review body like a design review board or a planning commission conducting a public hearing, looking at the proposal, looking at its effects on the surrounding properties, and trying to come to some conclusion about how to balance the two needs. Then we have what I would call form-based ministerial stand. In fact, it's kind of a checklist. If the height is okay, if the setbacks are okay, if it has enough parking, you're guaranteed an approval as long as you satisfy those requirements. And what I mean in this context by form-based is that the rules directly govern the form of the building or the massing of the building. And this will become more clear when we talk about the specific proposal that we're going to be discussing for Grover Beach this evening. And then finally, there are hybrid approaches that combine these others in various ways and combinations to try to satisfy the particular issues in a specific community. So these are, we've looked at zoning codes throughout California. Doubtless some among you have run across a zoning code that includes an approach different from these that I've listed, although we've worked on writing a lot of zoning codes for California cities and counties, probably closer to 80 than 100, and have researched many others. There are, after all, 450-plus cities in California and 58 counties, and it's not possible to know what each of them has attempted among those that have tried to deal with view protection issues. Frankly, most of the places we've looked at have explicitly addressed view protection, not from the standpoint of structures, but from the standpoint of vegetation. And in fact, at least one California community had its view protection ordinance that mandated trimming vegetation to not block views challenged in court, went to the California Supreme Court, and the ordinance was found to be constitutional, which certainly is a kind of comfort. Those were particular issues in the community that undertook a comprehensive zoning code revision. Now, given the history in this community, the content, the substance of the current ordinance and what you've worked with in terms of the neighborhood where this is applied, your options are, I think, a bit more limited than that full range of possibilities, but certainly include those. Your options include simply maintaining the existing approach, keep the 25-15 height limit, and the option for higher or increased height by some public discretionary review process. A second option would be to keep the height limit but eliminate the option for increased height so that the 25-15, that's what you get, period. The city's not going to look at it any further and won't attempt to resolve disputes between neighbors when construction according to that rule blocks someone's view. And then the third option, of course, is to consider alternatives used elsewhere, including alternatives used elsewhere in combination with what you have in place currently. Which brings us to an alternative that we've put together for the city to consider. And that has several points. I'm going to give an overview of what the draft amendment includes, and then we'll walk through it piece by piece. But as to the overview, it would retain the existing 25 foot on the low side, 15 feet on the high side height limit. It would allow limited additions that complied with form-based standards that would be along with that would require as part of the application a visual impact analysis that would document the applicant's attempts and efforts to minimize blocking views from adjoining properties, but then there would be a public hearing required before it was approved. So it gives the basic approach that if you build according to the 2515 height limit, it's essentially a building permit, in other words, a ministerial approval. You may provide or propose a second floor addition that is limited in area according to the standards in the ordinance, and we'll go over those in a minute, with director's approval. Or you may propose basically anything you want, but you're going to have to show that you designed it with consideration of use from off-site and that you understand, and therefore the city understands, what the impacts of your proposal on the views from adjoining properties will actually be. So that's an overview. Looking at the particulars, this draft ordinance is prepared in what's called legislative format, which means it shows both what the existing language says together with what the changes are. So words that once you get into Section 1 of the ordinance, the words that are underlined are not those. Words that are underlined down here is our new text. Words that are stricken are existing text that's being deleted. Words that are neither stricken nor underlined are the existing language height limit. This simply notes, this addition simply notes that the height limits might be increased according to the process that's listed in subsection D. We'll get to that in a second. And then we've suggested taking out the current process for increasing height, for proposing a structure that is over the 2515 height limit. And the reason we're suggesting it be taken out here is because we're replacing it with something else a little bit later. The height measurement provision talking about natural grade is from the existing code. That's not suggested for revision. The height limit for accessory buildings at 14 feet is what the existing code says, and that's not being suggested for revision either. If you've looked at the existing ordinance, you'll notice that this drawing is different from the one in the existing code. It essentially shows the same requirements applied in the same way, but we thought it was a more attractive house than the one that was shown in the existing ordinance. So then subsection D, this is the process for exceptions. So it notes that the height limits above can be increased to allow an average height of 25 feet to accommodate second-story living areas through either of the following two means. So there's two possibilities. The first is additional height granted by the director. The community development director may grant the increased height as long as it satisfies these two criteria. The first is that the floor area of the second story shall not exceed 40% of the floor area of the first story. The second component is that the second story shall be placed on the first story in a location that's determined by the director to be the most effective in retaining of these issues and how to play this out. It's obviously going to be more complicated in practice on an individual parcel because each individual house is designed differently. But this shows what the idea is, that in many cases, if a second floor addition doesn't cover the entire first floor and is located over the first floor mass with consideration of where the existing views are from the inland property, there's a good chance that a substantial portion of the existing view can be maintained rather than it being blocked entirely, which in that sense, everybody wins in terms of the property owner wanting to add on, gets to have a second floor addition that exceeds the height limit, and the property owner whose view is being affected still retains a substantial portion, if not all, of that view. The second option is additional height through site plan and architectural review. The increased height provided by this subsection may be granted through site plan architectural review by the Planning Commission, subject to these rules. The first is application requirements. The application has to include a visual analysis that shows in plan, cross-section, and elevation the proposed structure or addition, the locations of dwellings on adjacent inland parcels that might have their existing ocean views affected by the project, and the approximate location of the living areas and windows that provide access to the views. The visual analysis must identify the extent to which the existing living area ocean views of adjacent inland parcels will be reduced by the proposed construction. Living area ocean views of adjacent parcels to the maximum extent feasible through such means as limiting second story floor area, locating second floor building mass above the first floor so the existing living area ocean views are preserved to the maximum extent feasible. There has to be a public notice, and this mirrors the requirement in the existing ordinance that there be notice at least 10 days prior to the hearing to property owners within 300 feet. This may not even need to be in this part of the ordinance because this is the standard California state law requirement for public hearings and for providing notice for public hearings. And then finally, last but certainly not least, draft would require that the approval of a site plan and architectural review would require that the commission first make a finding that the proposed construction has been designed to retain and preserve existing living area ocean views from adjacent inland parcels to the maximum extent feasible. And it's important to go back for a second to this notion of living area views, living rooms, family rooms, patios, but not bedrooms. So that what the views that are trying to be that this attempts to preserve are ones where people are spending, from which people are spending most of their time. The point in the home or the patio, where people are really spending their time and mostly enjoying the view, not necessarily a bedroom that is infrequently occupied. So these are the first draft suggested components of this proposal. You know, these particularly coastal communities. Your options are either basically to come up with some formula that says this is where you put the second floor and how big it can be in relation to the first floor, or you exercise some kind of project-specific public review and scrutiny to look at the particulars of the proposal and how it will affect surrounding properties. And this attempts to blend the two. It clearly makes it more difficult to obtain a wide-open modification of the height limit by allowing a large second-floor addition. Makes it easier to propose and gain approval of a smaller second-floor addition. But these are all public policy issues that are appropriate for your commission and council to discuss with the citizens of this community. And we're happy to help you revise this in any way that you direct us to. Susan, anything you want to add?
I was wondering if you had considered modifying or proposing to modify lot coverage standards to allow people who want to obtain a certain square footage of home space to, you know, say they want a 2,000 or 2,500 square foot home. If they can't get it all upstairs, is there another process to allow more square footage downstairs? If that's something that's interesting to the community.
That is an option that, frankly, we didn't consider, but there's no reason we couldn't consider it. That certainly could be added to the coverage. Having an addition in one location with ground floor coverage reduced to provide a view across the ground level of the property, that may be an even more effective trade-off.
One of the issues that's really difficult for staff and the commission and council in determining whether views are blocked with our existing ordinance is this notion of needless and substantial. And currently, when we assess visual impacts due to a structure, we look at the existing view and we include the landscaping. If trees are partially blocking a portion of the view, we include that in the visual analysis. Would that be something that you'd think is appropriate in this case?
Yeah, I think it's entirely appropriate to include existing vegetation in the analysis of view blockage by a new structure in addition to an existing structure.
And do you look at the 180 view, or how can you explain a little bit how visual?
Well, again, it's a matter of and this to do it most effectively requires some cooperation from the property owner whose view is going to be affected. So that a third party can visit the living areas from which the view currently exists and can photograph those views looking outward in panoramic fashion to see then through simulation where the blockage will occur. Unfortunately, it's certainly possible to come up with formulas that specify the maximum amount of an existing view can be blocked. But frankly, in practice, no matter how hard you try to think through a number of variations in the design of existing houses and in the design of houses that are going to be added onto and the design of houses that are looking from which the views are currently enjoyed that might be blocked.
So when the review authority determines that a project meets this criteria, meets this objective, that's legally, how is that?
Well, I'm not an attorney and I'm not giving you legal advice, but there is significant precedent in California case law for zoning ordinances to deal with aesthetic issues, and courts have said that is a legitimate area of public health, safety, and welfare for a municipality to work with, and it all boils down to a question of what makes sense and what's appropriate locally. These are not one-size-fits-all rules or issues, and again, this draft attempts to balance a ministerial process with a discretionary process, one where it's pretty straightforward. If you do this, and you're approved, and if you want to do something else, then we're going to have a real hard look at it and think about it publicly.
I'd like to open up to the public if anybody has any suggestions or comments. Let's hear it.
Basically, my concern was the one story. I live in a one story. I built it with second stories. I don't ever plan to have one at my house if I can help it. And I'm a little disturbed that we're not addressing that other part of the problem. So I'd like to suggest that we can have a same kind of thing. This looks great. I don't have a problem with that so far. Don't know enough to say for sure, but, you know,
sure.
First glance. But my neighbor's building a garage, and her only intent is to improve her house. And it's going to block her neighbor's view completely. I think that's wrong. Not that I want to get my neighbor in trouble or anything. We're fine. But it just seems like those sorts of things need to be addressed as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I just have a couple of comments. I'm sorry. Arlene Versal, Planning Commissioner. The first thing is I noticed that you address ocean views. And I have hillside views, and they're just as valuable to me as the ocean views might be to someone else. So I'm wondering why we are focusing on that limitation or keeping it that restrictive in our discussion.
We can certainly expand the discussion, but the scope I was given to work with specified ocean views is the principal consideration.
It was your fault. Okay. And the second comment, and this is just my perception as I'm reading this, there's a lot of good work that went into this, but personally, this is just my opinion, if we're going to be granting exceptions to any kind of criteria or ministerial standards, then I personally don't feel it's appropriate personally don't feel is appropriate.
Okay. Thank you.
Craig Smith, 1182 Monaco Court. Paul, I want to applaud you. I think this has been very well done this evening, but I have
thanks.
A few comments. And very specifically, I would have hoped that possibly, and I know this is going to be tough, and I know this isn't going to be agreeable, like to have seen maybe more quantification or more absolute specifics. And I know that's tough to do. It's tough to do by area, by overlay, by neighborhood, and by individual design intent and approach. But But that's the problem. That's the problem with the city of Grover Beach, is that there is this discretion. And behind you, those five seats are five different opinions. And in an additional height application, you will possibly get five different opinions. And as an architect, my recommendation would be to maybe deal with it more in a bulk and mass aspect, with maybe another sub-paragraph or a sub-outline that might also be tools, recommendations to users and applicants, roof configurations, and possible other physical criteria that can interplay into that. Secondly, in addition to the more detailed aspects, also maybe staggered or stepped side yards. In your illustration where you show on figure two locating the second floor to preserve views, where that's going to become a problem, Paul, is when you introduce a second block and the next inline house is stepped over on a flattened terrain, mm-hmm. which is very physically present on the very north and south ends of the North Grand Avenue area. And so that there's an area where some language on massing, on side yard setbacking, and more corridor orientation in a more specific manner could possibly be written into it. I don't mean to make more work for you.
Oh, not a problem.
I'm John A. Blysong, 1660 Brighton, Grover. I've been here since town was incorporated, and I've seen a lot. And in my opinion, our planning is the most incompetent planning that I've ever seen in the city, and I've been back and forth across country. 1960, a man pulled in a limousine running for senator, and he got out down here in front of the King of Clubs, a future councilman that was introducing him, and the senator looked at him and said, "This is a golden opportunity for a contractor and a developer." And shortly after that, a condo went in behind me, and there was about 25 feet of dirt, and then the two-story condo. I could have seen Vandenberg. I don't see it. I'm in a hole because everything around me went up. And I sit over in the other room time after time after time talking about views. Then was the time to set the practice. Then was the time to make the ordinance. Then was the time to figure out the view shed. But money, and if you had enough push, got you higher than me. And that's the reason why we're sitting where we're at. Now, if I go to build in my backyard, which I'm an R2 up there. You got R1. Nobody knew we were R2 until a year after the town was incorporated. I don't know how it happened. I know how. Anyway, I put in there to see out.
Well, since you're in the R2 zone and this proposed draft doesn't affect R2 at all, it really doesn't address your condition.
So I'm affected on it.
The ordinance only relates to development in the R1 zone, the single-family zone. So the height limits in R2 and R3 are higher. You aren't held to the same restrictions or the same criterion findings. It's an easier process for you. We can talk about it, though.
You know, it hasn't been for the last 4 years. I haven't been able to build. I can't do anything. I can't stand for
okay. Nothing. Let's talk about it together at the counter.
Okay, fine.
Sounds good.
Who else?
I have Michael Leon, Planning Commissioner. I have two comments. One, on your design standards, you limit it to existing living area ocean views. I was curious as to why just existing. If we're going to, we could develop a view corridors in this proposal, in which account if we took a view corridor approach, we can provide for the undeveloped as well and just strike the existing and just put impact on living area ocean views of adjacent parcels as a whole. And that's one proposal I would like to see, perhaps move forward. The other I wanted to ask was how would the 2515 or the proposal that you put together, first of all, the proposal that you have seems fall below the 25-foot height, but surely that impacts ocean views. You can circumvent the whole system that way. Second of all, underground parking garages and the definition of natural grade.
Okay.
Roof decks are a big concern in our community. And I was curious, in other communities, with your experience, are roof decks considered a third story?
Usually not, but they are always an issue in terms of their effect on privacy on adjoining properties. And it's common where they're allowed to require that the protective railings be set back from the edge of the roof a distance so that there's not a direct line of sight down into the next door neighbor's backyard. In order to be able to have a roof deck, you have to construct the roof on which the deck sits differently. Otherwise, it'll leak, and so it has to be part of the design of an addition coming in or a modification to a house that would otherwise require a building permit. So that's clearly something the city could look at, even if it isn't ultimately considered another story.
I'm Melinda Jones, 6th and Grand. I appreciate what you're embarking upon. It has to be just an awful job to be taking on. Nevertheless, I come here from both points of view as someone who bought a home, a one-story home, and one of the selling points for me was the view that then was blocked, and because of dealing with it to see how it's worked or hasn't worked for them. And I know that we're concerned with having a tax base here, so there's a lot of concern with having some growth. But I think quality of life is also a major issue for most of us that chose this place to live. And I would hope that we think long-term, not 5 years down the road getting more money, but what life will be like in Grover Beach 25 years from now or 40 years from now. Because I've seen too many communities, particularly coastal communities, where there's a flood of people coming in. The tax base is great, but the quality of life is so desecrated by the way building happens that then people leave and everything's not so hot. And I would not like to see that happen here. There were two particular issues you talked about, and it was just alluded to by Michael, the definition of natural grade. And I noticed that you said natural grade. Well, our view was blocked largely because approval was given to building on a lot that had been used as a fill lot for about 30 years, and the measurements were taken from that level. Had they been taken from the true natural grade, our views would have been saved. And related to that, it concerns me when you're taking out notification of the people around. Nevertheless, I have to say that in our case, it didn't work. Of the 10 people most concerned with the view, 7 of us never received notices. So not only do I want people to get notices, I'd like them to be delivered by certified mail to make sure they hear about it. It seemed odd, to say the least, that those of us who are going to be blocked weren't notified. And I also share the feeling that we need to have public hearings if there are going to be any exceptions to heights. Thank you.
Dining room window faced a blank wall on my PUD. I felt so badly about it, I told her, I said, well, if you'd like an ocean scene painted, a mountain scene painted, or something like that, I'd be happy to do it, because I did. I felt quite badly when I found out what had happened in this area. We also have a problem that we have a local developer who goes in, and I know there is a grading ordinance. I have checked it out. But he goes in prior to the time he wants to get a building permit, fills in the land, and simply waters it down and then applies. I have another neighbor who unfortunately bought one of those places, and if he does the same thing again, her view is going to be completely blocked. I think we need to check and see what the landfill has been, because the majority of us live on a hill slope and we have certain things. My front little front yard is depressed, so their water from the sidewalk, if necessary, can go into a drainage in my front yard. There were people in the who have it in the back underneath a deck that have filled it in. Now there's no drainage. It's draining on other people's property. So the city's got to address some of these things and be sure that these kind of things aren't occurring. I don't know how they're going to stop it, except by finding out from neighbors. Thank you.
Yard, and I looked over my deck and I said, oh my gosh, it's growing. And I said to my husband, this is amazing. Now there's a mountain of dirt out here. And someone did come by and say something to the developer. However, the dirt was never hauled away. And through a 3-year or 4-year time, we watched the dirt just be, it was leveled off there. And we watched a tree that was growing that looked as though the branches were starting 1 foot from ground level. So I thought, why worry about it? Somebody will see this tree and know. And Tom Sullivan, who was the director of community development, was aware of some of it. That tree was cut down about 6 months ago. Every sign of anything of height that would have suggested that the soil had been brought up was removed, and the ground was watered, and beautiful grass is coming up all over there. So there will be no sign of it. But I thought what was very interesting, I came to a meeting when your home was going to be developed here, and when they were questioning about this new unit that was, the lot had been split, and they were building a 2-story that would block some views, I just assumed that you could go 25 feet up or the 15-foot ordinance. So I said, why are we even having this discussion? At that time, and it must be in the minutes of the meeting, Tom Sullivan said, Grover Beach is unique. Grover Beach is unique. And we do have a view ordinance.
Well,
and we're doing it now. So
there is an ordinance that allows exceptions to the 15-25 height limit through a public review process, but
right, but this wasn't an exception to it. And I mean, he just stated that that a person that already has an existing house and a view in Grover Beach, they had a right to some portion of their view. It couldn't necessarily be taken away. Hers was taken away. And it was the same situation where the ground level was changed.
It's hard to go back in time, I mean, to know exactly what occurred in every situation and on every lot. It is an infill community, and the topography and soils do change as properties are built, demolished, built, whatever, and soils are moved. I think perhaps, I'm only conjecture at this time, that he was referring to if they can make the findings of the needless and substantial criteria in our existing ordinance. That's the only thing that we have that could help protect existing views. So if that were applied in the manner in which he understood it, that could have been what he was speaking to. At this time, we do have an existing topographic map of the entire city. The city also had one prepared back in the early 1950s, which has been referred to on many occasions, particularly on those occasions where soil has been imported and it's raised the existing information available, and we can do the best job we can. And it's important that these sites are pointed out to us as a project comes up, and then we can try to deal with it. So, any other comments? Peter.
Good evening. My name is Peter Keith. I live at 865 Charles in Grover Beach. It's probably sufficient to say that one person's view is another person's nightmare. And I would hope that in designing some understanding and how this will come about, the view corridor, that you will not design rigid absolutes into it, because I think that is a nightmare. Every view corridor from every house is going to be a little bit different. And what one person considers a view, someone else might not. I think Arlene hit it right on the nail head when she said that her mountain or hill view is important to her. Someone else's street view might be important. Someone else's view of an oak tree might be important. Someone's concept of how light is shed upon their home from a street light might be important. So it's not just ocean view. This is pretty much focusing on ocean view. And the current understanding that our guidelines for our Planning Commission and the City Council is needless or a substantial blockage that is truly subjective. But I would suggest to you my understanding that that's probably the best way to administer policy, simply because everything is different. Every view is different. Every home is placed differently. And the corridor that every home looks at is a bit different. And so I think it's a, and one more item, if I might, and that's vegetation. Frankly, I don't think anyone has an inalienable view, right to a view. I think that the wording needless and substantial is appropriate. However, that does not, in my opinion, include vegetation. I think that it's often a disaster when someone plants a tree or encourages growth of vegetation that blocks someone's view, because it's not living space, it's not needed for family housing, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm Michael Burnham. I live on 6th Street. And I was wondering who has the last say on how something can be built? That's a question.
I'm sorry, what?
If we got a notice that somebody was going to build a project in front of our view, and we came down to the Planning Commission and complained about it, could that be changed so it wouldn't take all of our view?
Well, I think that's the whole point of...
And
of
who would have the say in that? Who would make that happen?
Well, the way... Correct me if I'm wrong, Susan, but the way the existing ordinance works and the way that the proposed ordinance would work with respect to second floor additions larger than 40% of the first floor would be that the Planning Commission would have the authority and responsibility.
And I was looking at it, and I noticed that if it was built to the right of the property, it wouldn't affect what's left of our view. But if it was built to the left, it would. If I get a notice like that, I'm going to come down and see if that can happen.
Sure, as you should.
That's all I got to say.
That's the point of public noticing, is for you to have the opportunity to come down to the Planning Commission and voice your concerns. Hopefully they address it at that point. And if they don't address it to your liking, then you have the opportunity to appeal that decision if they should approve it to the City Council, where the item would be reviewed again or considered again, and you have 5 working days to appeal a project. That would be the administrative remedies.
My name is Kimberly Sutton. I live at 868 Saratoga Avenue. Previously, early in the year, I went through this exact process exactly as she's describing, came down to the council, went through an appeal, brought even as many city council members to my residence to actually view the view that was going to be blocked by the proposed project that's going in next Excuse door me. To me. I was really frustrated with the process. Not only do I have a project going in next to me, at the end of my property line, there has been property purchased that that individual does plan on developing. 5 homes side by side, all with a view of the ocean. It helps the tax base rather than having one home with a view and all the others being blocked by that residence. When I did bring the council members to my home and they talked about the needless blockage of the view, I was told specifically that I had no rights to a view beyond my property line. So that was extraordinarily frustrating for me, and the decision for the proposed development to go forward was allowed as a result that the existing ordinance talking to 2515 and, you know, that my view really, I had no rights to a view beyond my property line, kind of, you know, tied my hands. I did go through the appeal process. I did do everything, and I did come away very frustrated and felt like I didn't have a voice. My house exists. The house still hasn't been built. And when my house went in, it went next door to my neighbor, who also has a two-story. The developer at that time was given an easement to set my house back 3 feet, and it protected my neighbor's view. And so our houses sit side by side, both two stories. Both of us have a beautiful view, and we are happy neighbors. And I just think that as a community, that to my view, if it was done that way. So I really, you know, I don't know if at this point anything can be done, but I'm very frustrated.
Well, I can't speak to your particular case, but certainly the, as I said at the outset, everything in this draft is on the table at this point, so we can certainly undertake substantial refinement of what you see before you.
I'm Ed Becerra at 886 Saratoga. Just two quick points. I concur with Commissioner Versall regarding the public notice and public hearing. Going back to your exception to the north of grand height limits, D1 does say additional height granted by director. I feel by giving the or allowing the community director, development director, the leeway in making a, such a decision as that would actually take away from the Planning Commission to a point. By allowing a public notice and public hearing, that gives them a procedure that we need to follow in order for us to get our homes built. Or if we have a problem, I'm the neighbor that Kimberly was talking about earlier, that when they put up her home, they were willing to negotiate and move it 3 feet closer to the curbside. And that took the process of the Planning Commission. Without that, I think I would have had some problems. Again, leaving it to the community development director for his or her approval might be a problem. And I would concur again with what she had to say earlier and what other people have expressed.
Okay.
Mayor Santos?
Now for me is Grand Avenue. And I wanted to find out if this ordinance would address, commercial zones impeding the view of a, of a R1 lot, let's face it, we're getting three-story buildings being built here in town, and, a three-story building built on Grand is going to definitely have an effect on, all the houses along the area where I live. And, there's a three-story house being built down the street, and I can see it coming my way. And would like for us to, there needs to be some, the issue needs to be addressed in terms of how we're going to handle that. We've got two-story buildings all over town, two-story homes, and now we're coming up with three stories. So I just want to get your input on that and get an eye of how that's going to affect commercial buildings and
The way both the current ordinance and this proposed draft are written, commercial properties would not be affected or limited by this. The application of the current ordinance and the draft are both entirely to the R1 zone on the coastal side of Grand Avenue.
So if a commercial property that's not regulated under this ordinance for residences is proposed that, say, is 5 or 10,000 square feet total, even though it complies with the height restrictions, it would still require this other environmental review, and there would be noticing, and there would be an evaluation and a determination made whether there would be impacts to any surrounding properties, and then a determination by the Planning Commission and City Council, if it goes to City Council, whether that's appropriate and acceptable. So that's the rest of that. I'm back here.
Thanks. My name is Brad Keller. I live at 748 Saratoga Avenue. A couple years ago, I went through the same experience as this woman did and lost my views. I feel that subsection D, the exceptions, is more and more the rule, and B has now become the exception. And I would like D removed and B implemented strictly by sticking with this 15-foot high end of the property. I live on a little slope, so my house conforms to this primarily. The house below me, which was remodeled with a second story, is fairly flat property. And the way they implemented this, in my opinion, is they conformed with the 15-foot in the front of the house, but then they built the house up to 20-plus feet in the back, even though the slope, like this diagram, suggests there's not a horizontal line going across the top of that roof of 15 feet. And if they'd stick with this rule, people who happen to live on sloping property would be able to look over the people below them and the people below them, and et cetera, and this rule would work.
Notification, 10 days is enough, I feel, if persons have many, many concerns over height, over building size, over offsets, you know, everything else. And also the inequity of treatment of a lot of citizens that, you know, they enter into this for the first time not knowing many things, and before you know it, it's too late for them to do, you know, to speak up. And certainly notification, is it 300 feet or 500 feet?
300.
You know, certainly people beyond the 300 feet can be affected by this, so there needs to be more notification, and much more advance of that. And also, if there is an appeal, isn't it $150 to appeal that to have the planning, once a decision is made by the Planning Commission, to go to City Council, and that may be a little bit inequitable as well.
Who else?
Arlene Versa, Planning Commission. This is a workshop, so out-of-the-box thinking. A thought struck me, so I thought I'd throw it out for consideration, and that is that we have impact fees for a number of things that we do in the city, and what we're doing here is we're impacting homeowners' views. That's the issue. Out-of-the-box thinking, we might consider the idea of levying an impact fee, which then goes to the homeowner whose view is being impacted.
A two-story house and a roof deck, I probably could see it. But there's nothing in place right now to be able to deal with that, and I think we need to look at that.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, the scope of this, you know, certainly could be expanded.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there anybody else in the public that would like to speak on this item? Okay.
Gentleman in the back.
Okay, because after that, then we'll bring it back to the council and planning commission.
Don Moore, Parkview Avenue. There seems to be specific concern with the R1 north of Grand. Are you aware of that your R2 zone, which has no criteria for discretionary, is right in front of all of that R1?
I am. Again, the scope that I was directed to develop covered only the R1 zone where that existing exception applies.
Okay.
Again, if the city wants to expand the consideration of view protection beyond the R1 zone, that's certainly a possibility.
And then allowing only 40% on the second floor on most lots in the northwest Grover Beach area, you'd be limiting houses to under 2,300 square feet with the garage requirements and everything else?
I think it's an open issue still whether the garage would be part of the consideration or not, but the whole point was to...
I mean, concerning lot coverage,
right,
and parking requirements,
right,
you're limiting to 2,300 square feet homes.
Right.
Almost chasing your tail, as most communities have found.
Most communities have found, yeah.
Thank you.
Ron Perkins, 590 North 10th Street. I've been involved in this process probably about seven times as the developer and as my home, my personal home at 590 North 10th. Over the past 10 years, I've seen a great improvement in this town with a lot of nice development. I think most people that came here to Grover Beach came here not to sit in their house, from my perspective and my family's, and to ponder on the view, but to actually be involved in the community and go out and be part of the view. I think that is really not even being addressed here. My view, where I live, when I built my house, I had a beautiful view, and I still have a beautiful view. My neighbor directly across the street from me built her two-story addition in front of my view and blocked part of my view of the ocean. And how far are you going to go back? I think more address needs to be on the public, from the first public road to the ocean. And if you really need that view, that's really what you should go after. I agree with the last comment that sooner or later it's, you know, obsolete to design a city with total view impact for everybody. I can tell you the Planning Commission, they've tried to do due diligence in their job that they're doing. They have issues with ordinances, and where do we go? Where are we supposed to do? So I think this is a great step forward on what you're proposing right now. My concerns of a square footage are a lot greater than somebody who only has one child or no children or themselves. Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to speak? Anyone?
Also, you're 15 foot from the high point and 25 from the low. Not all lots in Grover Beach are sloped. There's a lot of flat lots.
Yes.
And from the 1958 topographical survey, there is no records of a lot of the stuff that was in the county at that time. So natural grade is unknown.
Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak?
Laura Bradley, Newport and 13th. I just can't leave it with the nobody sits in their house and looks at the view. I again repeat that some of us who don't stay in the house all the time have some of our happiest times in our yards and in our houses looking at the view. I bought my house because of the view. I paid a lot of money, and I am limited on what I can do because of that. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not out at meetings and at places going and doing. It just means that my happy times are with that view, and I want to keep it. Anything you can do, thank you.
Planning Commissioner, Michael Leon, Planning Commissioner. One of the speakers in the public made a request for quantifiable details, and that's something that I think is lacking. I think Peter Keith mentioned also how subjective the process is now. Whatever tools we could have, we have ranges that would help us to move forward on a lot of these projects. Ranges such as what is the definition of a natural grade. ranges such as percentage of view loss and what's acceptable to the city in terms of those objectives that we're trying to achieve for view corridors. Those would seem to be very, very quantifiable things that we need to work with. We don't have those, and that's why we have a great deal of discretion. One of the things I also failed to see in your issues, what seems to be driving most of this, are twofold. It's all financial in the sense as those folks who are new to the city or new to developing the properties, the cost to purchase land is so high now that the new folks need to go up to maximize, you know, the size of the lot to maximize their investment in their property. And that's being driven counter to those who have been bought previously who are trying to maximize their view but with perception of property value. One of the things that needs to be addressed and one of the strongest arguments that comes up for folks who are against in any view blockage has to do with the perception of a loss of property value due to the local housing task force that we did for our housing element. And it was something that was shown the pros and the cons of that argument. And that's something I think, if nothing else, we have a duty to help educate the public as to what are the forces that are pulling on a planning commissioner or city councilman to consider when we move ahead or deny a project. And I think it's something that we need to do in our packet with this whole process. You know, if nothing else, put it on your view protection issues because they are quantifiable and they are what's driving most of the concerns.
There's nobody else in the Planning Commission that wants to speak? No one? Okay, we'll bring it to the council then, I'm sure. Okay.
Good evening. John Scholes, Mayor Pro Tem. Good evening. I'm glad to see everyone here tonight. And I'm sure everyone's kind of been following this issue. We've had a couple of projects that have come to this council and we've debated these very issues. First, let me begin by saying I'm sure a lot of you have heard members on this council say that no one owns the view. Short of granting an easement, short of buying the property in front of you, no one owns the view. So I'm afraid that hopefully people don't have the expectation that we are going to totally preserve views. What has come to this council and what we and I had suggested is that we deal with this in an issue of bulk and massing because Peter Keith had talked about, and so we are trying, hopefully, to develop standards in which we can minimize impacts on views and retain some of those views. This planning commission was tied, their hands were tied, and they had a difficult time because there are not quantifiable objectives in the ordinance now. And so here's where I get to my punchline. I think we should certainly look at this from an aspect of building and massing. I think Craig Smith hit the nail right on the head. Some of the previous direction that we had given staff was lot coverage. I believe in the R1 zone, 35% lot coverage is what is allowed. I think if you look at a lot of cities in this county and probably other counties, it's 40 to 45%. So I hope you would include that in the discussion because if we can allow more people to build on the first floor, then maybe we can discourage them from going up and building as much mass up top. We had also talked about staggered or stepped home designs, meaning that once you get above that first floor, start to step it back. I think the city of San Luis Obispo has a really good standard that talks about how they step back second floor. So now we're starting to create corridors. We're starting to create light and space and vistas through some of these structures. I think we had talked about roof deck, and I think Paul had touched on it earlier. You know, we talk about roof decks and the location and orientation of that. So I think that does need to be addressed. I'm going to slow down here. I like the idea of going toward a certain percentage of the second floor, or the second floor being a percentage of the first floor. 40%, I think, is what you're suggesting. Homes, and they put on the tag Ocean View, and they put these high prices on it. But you need to understand, they are not doing that in relation to the city's ordinance. They are doing that from a selling point. They are not educating you to the fact that that vacant lot in front of you may be developed at some point in the future, or that home in front of you might have an addition. So we do need to educate everyone, because I know I'm not comfortable talking about granting a view shed easement, which I'm sure they do in coastal zones or up in northern San Luis Obispo County. But so I would like to see us go in the direction of trying to give this commission tools and the council and staff to where, and I think what you talked about is form-based ministerial standards, and I think that's where I'm trying to go with this. And I do like the idea of if there are exceptions to the 1525 rule, that it would certainly need to go to a public hearing if we go that route. So I've put these things out there, and hopefully they can be included in this ordinance. I think it's wonderful that everyone's here and you understand the dilemma that we are all in, and trying to quantify these things so that everyone has a reasonable expectation of how to develop their property, and everyone's going to be impacted in some way or not. That's all I have to say.
Oh, no. You did fine, John. Mayor Pro Tem Scholes. I would just like to sandwich myself in between these two gentlemen and say that I live in a two-story house, and there was a house built behind me, which was Mrs. Sutton's, and it took away some of my view shed, but my attitude at that time, and still is that I enjoyed it for quite a number of years, and I had a view of the mountains and the ocean. It was awesome. People's view sheds to a certain point. There was a comment that was made about the Planning Commission. It's not an easy job. It's easier to criticize than to sit up there and be a planning commissioner or a council member to have to go through these. And I think we've promised the Planning Commission for quite a number of years that we're going to do this, and now we finally have reached this point. And I really appreciate the people that have come out tonight. All your input is very important to all of us and so forth. John, you brought up a lot of good points. A lot of you in the public brought a lot of good points, and we appreciate that. So with that, I'm going to give you to Council Member Lieberman.
Thank you. I have no comment. No, I'm just kidding. You know, 10 years ago, we bought our home on Ocean View Avenue, and I remember the realtor saying to my wife, buy this home and recapture your ocean view, because our home is uphill from a two-story home. So that's been haunting me for 10 years. And my wife's now a realtor, and she's now saying, let's recapture our ocean view. But I think a lot of the, you know, it's always tough to follow someone like John who's got all the technical jargon down. But I think a lot of the information that you've provided us tonight has been extremely helpful. A couple of recent developments in the community have really defined the need that we define something more tangible. And Craig Smith talked about quantifiable information, or I'll call it metrics. We need something, and I like the range idea, because when it came time to evaluate the last project, we took it upon ourselves to do some architectural review because we were in a discretionary mode on that appeal process. And what we did was we took the structure down 10 feet to increase some view. We were doing a back issue that you brought up earlier tonight, and I think that's helpful to retain some privacy for the neighbors. Then we go back to it's recessed within the 25-foot limit, but then we start seeing umbrellas appearing in other things that you would expect to see on a patio. So then where does that take us? And the second issue is we talked about the 40% coverage on the second story, and I agree that that perhaps isn't enough unless we were able to do what John said and increase overall lot coverage and build out the first floor. The question that comes to mind then is, what if I build a master suite on the second floor and I'm limited to 40%, and I want to build a patio that leaves my second story bedroom suite, for example, and what are the limits to having that outdoor patio living area that's on top of the first floor? So I think it's great information. I definitely think we need to get a little more specific than we've been, because at some point, the Planning Commission's doing their best, and they're getting a little creative. And if the answers aren't welcome at the Planning Commission level, then it's appealed to the council, and we're getting a little creative as best we can. And oftentimes, you know, obviously when it gets to an emotional point like this, when it comes to someone's dream home versus existing structures, someone's going to leave, and they're not going to be really happy. And that's just the way life is, unfortunately. But I think we need to be as equitable as we can. If we can fall back on guidelines that are more solid than what we have today, I think it would be great. And that's all I have.
Paul, could you maybe some the discussion or debate about natural grade and then versus the grade when there is, let's say, subdivision grading, you know, as far as how that that's looked at in practice?
Communities have pursued to that issue range from not doing anything about it. Then they don't talk about natural grade. They talk about finished grade. And that's the very reason you don't want to talk about finished grade if you're dealing with in particular, view protection issues. There are some approaches that are pretty draconian that require boring on a site if there's a suspicion that it was filled to determine the location of the original grade. It's pretty universal that pads created through an approved subdivision become the datum from which building height is measured. And the notion of natural grade is not applicable in that kind of circumstance.
Okay, do you, either one of you council members have any more questions for tonight? Planning commissioners? Our next steps is most likely we've conducted the workshop to receive Mr. Crawford's presentation. We've discussed and explored issues, opportunities, constraints, and alternatives relevant to the City of Grover Beach view protection. Now there's no action will be taken tonight other than to direct staff to return with an agenda item for future council and planning commission meeting. Is that consensus? Mayor Pro Tem Scholes?
I think Mr. Moore had brought up R2.
Is there any other ideas from the Planning Commission? No? Consensus has it. Okay. We will close this workshop. And I thank you all for coming. And
Mayor?
Yes, sir?
Thank you so much for getting involved in this. Thank you so much for something that we put on our agenda beginning of March last year.
I think that was one of the goals that we had all discussed and had that. And thank you, Mr. Crawford, for being here tonight, and I'm sure you're going to hear more from us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the comments from everyone. It's always easier to have this kind of a discussion when you have something to react to, and this was intended to be a rough first draft, and the input received, I think, will allow us to produce a second version that is much more responsive to community needs. So thank you very much.
I think we should give our staff and everyone a good hand, and you're all also. Thank you.